It's great to be back here at Calvary, and I enjoyed last night the fellowship and the testimonies, and praise be to God for all that he's done in the 25 years. Lots of memories, we're coming back last night. When Bud Anderson mentioned the call process, I had forgotten about that. That was one of the things that wasn't in my mind. But I remember that now with Bud reminding us and how it was pretty well indicated that I might be going to another congregation. I had served for 15 months on internship. This guy named Eldon Nelson, who was the home mission director at that time, asked me. He came to Larimore. That's where I was, Larimore. He flew in and... He was just kind of making sure we weren't destroying the place, I guess, but he mentioned this new group starting in South Dakota. And if I wanted on my senior year of seminary to rotate on weekends with Pastor Grevin. And I said, sure, I could do that. So I remember that first trip rolling out here. The land here looks so different. Rolling hills and sloughs. I came from North Dakota. Eastern North Dakota was flat as a pancake. And it was just different coming out here. And you people are different, too. I'll let that just sit there for a second. Very different. But you captured our hearts. And anyway, when it came time, we're open for call. That church I served on internship was... all set to issue me a call, and I came out the day before they were to do that. I met with the steering committee here, and they spoke to me about a call coming possibly from here, and I told them, well, I appreciate that, but I just want you to know there's another congregation voting to extend me a call. I'd been there 15 months. It would be a tough decision. And that next morning... was the only Sunday my senior year I didn't go somewhere to preach. And later that afternoon, I got a call from that other congregation. And they told me that they had decided to send a call to someone else. And so, I took that as clear confirmation where I was supposed to be. And that was here in Arlington, and the rest is history, as far as our time here. Just a delightful time of our life. This, as I mentioned last night, is home. And we just are grateful to be here today with you again and to share. And what was so wonderful yesterday, first thing was I looked at your directory, and I didn't know most of you. And that's a good thing. After 25 years, it means you're growing. There are new people that God is bringing, and I praise God for that. And then the other thing was just to hear last night the reminder of one of the things that makes you so special as a congregation, your love for others and love for the Lord. And so we praise God for that. But our text for this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to read that text and then have a short prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as soldier. Our Father, we come to you today thanking you and praising you, God, for your blessings. Thank you, God, for your love, that amazing, everlasting love that caused you to send the greatest gift of all to earth, the Lord Jesus, that we might have the hope of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, God, for the opportunity this morning to look into your word. I ask, God, that you would just be glorified today, that Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and that all the glory and praise and honor would go to you for all that you have done, for all you are doing, and for all that you will do. And so we commit this time now into your hands and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I used to, as you recall, when I preached here, I had a little two-page thing. One of the things with the age is that it doesn't fit on two pages anymore. So my eyesight isn't what it used to be. Is one of these for me? I came prepared in case. All right. As I said, it's great to be back at Calvary. Margaret and I came here 25 years ago. I was, as I said last night, fresh out of seminary. I was excited and just, again, a little curious how things were going to go. I came here as a young man, and now I am just glad to be here, I guess. I'm not so young. Wade, when he said I was 27, you know, that you guys can do the math, that makes me 52. And so the years have gone by, but they have been good years, and we're grateful to be here today. As I think back to 25 years ago, I remember many of the things that you talked about last night, besides that beautiful green shag carpet and paneled walls of the basement. I remember the spirit of joy as we gathered together, that sense of eagerness to hear the word, the anticipation just to be able to gather for fellowship. I remember the receiving of the gift of this property and that building program and those first services here and just how God has blessed through the years. And I certainly remember and think of all the wonderful people, many of them who are home with the Lord today, who banded together, who stepped out in faith to form this congregation. It was a courageous thing to do, but you were committed to that. Concerned parents and grandparents and all those young people who captured my heart, who are in kind of a small way my kids, who now have their own kids and are here today chasing them down and trying to watch over them. Above all, as I think back 25 years, I remember the reason you began as a congregation. And that was because of your heartfelt desire and steadfast conviction to be a Christian congregation where God's word would be proclaimed in its truth, its purity, where it would be honored and proclaimed without compromise, so that souls would be won and disciples would be made. And so your anniversary verse is very fitting. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. And so today on this 25th anniversary, I'd like for us to reaffirm the initial purpose of Calvary as we look at our text for today, where we find what it means to be a disciple, a true disciple of Christ. I perhaps have preached this on this text before here in the years past, but I'd like to do that today. In this text, Paul is speaking to Timothy, a young Christian pastor, and he's describing for Timothy two characteristics of a true disciple of Christ. And while he speaks to Timothy, a young Christian pastor, I think the words also very fittingly apply to all of us today who are believers here this morning. Let's see what Paul says here about a true disciple of Christ and see if it still is descriptive of us 25 years later here as we gather. First, a true disciple of Christ, notice, is a servant of the Lord. This opening verse of our text, the Apostle Paul encourages and urges Timothy to press on in the ministry that God has called him to. And he talks about serving the Lord through these words. Notice first, as we look at three things, a servant of Christ serves by the grace of God. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I think there's a key point for us to recognize in this opening verse, and it's this. We serve the Lord in the same way that we are saved. It is by the grace of God alone. You see, Paul doesn't tell Timothy in this text to find strength to serve the Lord in his own power, in his own wisdom, in his own determination, but instead to find his strength to serve in the grace that God gives in Christ Jesus. In essence, he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, find your strength to serve God, to serve the Lord in the Lord himself, because you can do nothing apart from him and the word and prayer. And that's a point that I think we need to recognize today as Christians, as believers in the Lord. We are called to serve him, but we cannot do that in our own wisdom, in our own strength. If we try to do that, what will happen is we will fail miserably and we'll become discouraged and ultimately give up the ministries that God has called us to. Ministry and service for the Lord cannot be done in the flesh. It can only be done by God's Spirit and through his grace and through his word. A servant of Christ serves by the grace of God. Secondly, a servant of Christ knows the word of God. It's clearly implied in the second verse. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy spent considerable time listening to the Apostle Paul as he shared the word of God. And as he did that, he came to know the truths of God that are the most important to know. He came to know that God's will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He came to see that all men need a Savior and that Jesus, through his death and resurrection and ascension, is that Savior. And he came to know and understand that sinners could be forgiven and have the promise of eternal life by simply giving their hearts to the Lord. Timothy sat and listened to Paul as he shared the word. He was a student of the word. And so he knew these truths of God that then were used in his heart to prepare him to be an effective servant for Christ. And I think the same is true for us as believers today who desire to serve Christ. If we're going to be effective as individual Christians or as a Christian congregation, effective in really impacting our world for Christ, in making a difference for Christ, in seeing souls won for the kingdom, then we need to know God's word. Like Timothy, spend time hearing, studying, and feeding on the word. Because that's what will equip us to serve effectively. Thinking back 25 years ago, that was one of the things that stood out to me as I came here, is the hunger and eagerness to hear the word and to speak of that word. It wasn't just a matter of coming and waiting for the pastor to share it. You wanted to share it. You wanted to grow in it. There was a hunger for the fellowship and the study of the word. And the result is that souls have been won to the kingdom. Disciples have been made. As we look to the future, it is only through knowing the word and growing in the word that Calvary will continue to grow in your service for the kingdom, where souls will continue to be won. So I urge you to continue on, press on. Recommit yourself to the study of God's word, to the feeding on God's word that characterized your congregation 25 years ago. A servant of Christ serves by God's grace and strength, knows the word, And thirdly, notice a servant of Christ shares the word of God with others. Having heard and learned these truths from Paul, Timothy, as a disciple, as a servant of Christ, was to take that word and share it with others with the understanding that they, in turn, would share that word. Verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy was to take that word and proclaim it to others who in turn would do it to others, who in turn would do it to others. You know, years go by fast. I think back to those 25 years ago, and I was a young man, and there were many, many people who were here advanced in age compared to 27. And they've since gone, and now some of the young ones are in their 20s and 30s. And that promise that God's word will not return void, that God's word will accomplish that which it was given for. As we look back, the time gives us that view, and we've seen that happen. But I pray that we would not be content with the past, what's happened in the past, but we'd look to the future so that 25 years from now, when some of us who are older may not be here, there will be another generation who will get up at the 50th anniversary of Calvary and continue to proclaim the same message that Jesus is our Savior and that this is a place where the word is proclaimed, where love is found, and where lives are changed. As Christians, it's not enough for us just to hope that people are saved or to know the truths that lead them to salvation. If people are going to be forgiven of their sin and won to the kingdom and grow as disciples of Christ, they must hear the word, and so we must act as his people. Share that word with those around us that they might be saved and come to know Christ and walk with him as disciples. This was our mission 25 years ago. It is still the mission today for Calvary. A true disciple is a servant. Notice the second point this morning. A true disciple of Christ is a soldier of the Lord. It's an interesting text here. Paul, as he speaks to Timothy, goes right from talking to him about serving the Lord and proclaiming the word to the reality that as a disciple of Christ, we are soldiers of the Lord. Notice three things about being a soldier of Christ. A soldier of Christ first faces times of suffering. Verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, there's no getting around it. Whenever you are engaged in sharing the Word of God, whenever you are sharing about the Lord Jesus, you are in a spiritual war. And we face spiritual hardships because we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. There will be times in the ministry, times in our lives when we take a stand for Christ, that we will face opposition. And we should expect that because wherever God is at work, Satan is not going to be far behind trying to destroy that work. 25 years ago, we heard it last night, we faced some of that opposition. We faced some of those comments and some of those attitudes. I remember an area clergyman talking to me once. We were putting together a community service, and I was the new kid in town. And they asked if I would speak, and so we were setting up the service and talking about the various elements of the service, and came time about the message, and they asked how much time I would take. I said, about a half hour. And that was it didn't go over well. And I was told, if you can't say what you need to say in 7 minutes, then you aren't a very good communicator. You know, just a different mindset. People called us things. Some of you had relationships that were strained. You were alienated from family, even friends, because of your stand for the Lord and His kingdom. And so we face opposition. Nothing real major. There are some places in the world today where Christians this morning are being persecuted severely, being imprisoned, being beaten, being martyred for their faith. And so make no mistake, we will face times of suffering as soldiers in the battle. And you know, 25 years, again, looking at those years, the world, is it just me, has become more hostile to the things of Christ. We certainly see that in the attack on biblical principles related to the family. It's just going to get worse. And so as you take a stand as a congregation, as you continue to proclaim the word, as you continue to share about Jesus, expect that hardship, expect those wounds from the battle. We face times of suffering. Secondly, a soldier of Christ faithfully endures times of suffering. Paul says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." In essence, he's saying to Timothy, don't run from the battle. A good soldier sticks with it and endures suffering. When you think about spiritual warfare, there is a tendency to try to avoid conflict. For us as believers, to avoid the conflict means what? It means to surrender. It means to not engage the enemy. It means to remain silent and let the enemy take the souls and the territory that we're fighting over. And what's the result if we surrender in that battle? Well, for those who are lost, they'll just continue to be lost. And for those of us who are Christians, if we surrender and don't engage, if we don't stay engaged in the battle, if we're not sharing the word and telling others about the Lord, then we will grow defeated and discouraged. And so I encourage you as believers here at Calvary to don't lose heart, to press on. We must have courage to be engaged in the battle and face the hardships because the cause is worth it. I think back to those, 25 years ago, the founders of Calvary, God moved in their heart and you made a decision to start a congregation where God's word would be proclaimed, where people could hear the word. And many of you were concerned about the next generation, your children and your grandchildren. Think if you hadn't made that decision, how things would be today. We don't know. And so there needs to be a recommitment, a reaffirmation of what's important, keeping the first things first. A soldier of Christ endures suffering. And notice finally, a soldier of Christ follows the Lord with an undivided heart. Verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as soldier. What Paul is saying here to Timothy is simply this: a soldier of Christ must have an undivided, uncompromising loyalty to the Lord and his kingdom work. That nothing else should be ahead of that. Now, why would Paul say that? Why would he make this point so clearly about following the Lord with an undivided heart? I think it's because he knew there were many things that could distract Timothy as a young Christian man from serving the Lord and following him faithfully. The text that Bob read earlier from Luke is one of those texts that points out those things that can distract us. Family. It's not just sinful things. It's just things that kind of clutter up our life and become more important to us and keep us from that uncompromising loyalty to the Lord. It can be family. It can be life itself. It can be possessions. Jesus said that we are to leave everything behind, take up our cross, and follow him. Today, on this 25th anniversary, we praise God for what he's done in the past. We praise God that he worked in the hearts of the people of this area to step out, courageously step out, and establish this congregation where God could be honored, his word would be proclaimed. We praise God for that. And I would suggest that today we reaffirm and recommit ourselves to the same things we did 25 years ago. To joining together, to feed on the Word, to follow the Lord with an undivided heart, so that people in our families, among our neighbors and friends in this surrounding area, might be one to the kingdom and disciples might be made. Many of those original leaders made that investment, and the next generation has come up. And we need to just continue to carry that on. So 25 years from now, the people of Calvary would give praise to God for the continued evidence of souls won to the kingdom, the word being proclaimed, and love being extended by his people. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today, and it is humbling, God, to just be reminded of your faithfulness. We didn't deserve all these many blessings. You're the one who began the work over 25 years ago in the hearts of people, and you're the one who established congregations like this one. You're the one who has, through the years, patiently, lovingly, graciously, by your Spirit, worked in hearts. We ask, God, that in the years ahead, that you would continue to do that work, that you would continue to strengthen us as your people, and I think especially of this fellowship of believers here at Calvary, that you would strengthen them, that they would walk in your word, that they would study and hear and feed on that word, and then be available, God, for you to use them in their workplace, in the community, in their families, that souls would be won, people would be unshackled by sin. And Father, be not only filled with the peace that passes all understanding, but the joy of salvation that you provide. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the future. I pray, God, that you would be glorified as you continue to work here at Calvary. And Father, keep us humble. Keep us resting in your loving arms and hearing from you that you might be glorified in all that's said and done here in the years to come. Thank you, God, for all that you've done and all that you are doing and all that you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.